Well, hello, and welcome to today's City Club of Boise virtual conversation on Idaho's road to economic recovery. I'm Karen Sonder, your board president of City Club of Boise, and today's moderator. We welcome you. I would want to welcome our radio listeners who will be joining us at a later date via Boise State Public Radio on KBSX 91.5 and its affiliates throughout southern Idaho and northern Nevada. This program is being recorded and will be posted on our YouTube channel as well. Today's forum is available to our audience in part because of our City Club partners and sponsors. I would like to take the time to thank a few of these organizations that help us achieve our mission to ensure compelling conversations, engage citizens, and a dynamic community. Our premier sponsor is Northwest Nazarene University and the NNU College of Business. Our annual sponsor is the University of Idaho. We also receive support from our forum series sponsors, AARP Idaho, Bank of Idaho, Climatech Corporation, Echelon Group, Micron, Pacific Source Health Plans, Small Mine Development, and St. Luke's Health System. City Club of Boise also receives grant funding from the Idaho Humanities Council. Thanks also to our media partners, which include Boise State Public Radio, 670 KBOI, Idaho Statesman, and Idaho Public Television. Our university partners are BSU and NNU. Finally, I'd like to thank the members of City Club of Boise, the individuals and organizations who understand the need to find common ground, listen, seek shared solutions, and learn from and respect each other. City Club of Boise members are foundational to our community. Thank you for your support. And if you're listening today and not yet a member, I encourage you to join today. Please remember there'll be an opportunity for our panel to respond to your questions. You can use the Q&A function on Zoom, just type in your question, or you can email it to Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, at cityclubofboise.org. It will be provided to me, and I'll do my best to present each question and may group similar inquiries together in interest of time. Now, transitioning to the topic of the day. Sean Keithley is the Economic Development Director for the City of Boise. Tom Keeley is the Director of the Idaho Department of Commerce. I want to thank them both for taking time for this conversation. So let's unpack the tools available to bolster local businesses and support the health of consumers and employees, not only in the Treasure Valley, but throughout the state of Idaho. So with that, let's start off with Tom, and if you would kick it off, please.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for allowing me to be part of the City Club of Boise's event today, and thanks everyone on for attending as well. And I want to start off by saying I'm the director of the Idaho Department of Commerce. I was selected by Governor Little to join his cabinet just about 2 years ago, so I have just a couple years under my belt in this role. It's been a pretty exciting last 2 years, 2009 versus 2019 versus 2020, quite a contrast in activities. We work with a great team here, but we also work with a lot of stakeholders across the state. So we're pretty broad, lots of activities, a broad base of businesses that we help. There are probably 62 to 63,000 different businesses across the state. We are in commerce. It's the basically it's the lead economic development agency for the state of Idaho. The mission of the department is to foster a business friendly environment to aid in quality job creation, supporting existing companies, strengthen communities, promote innovation, and market Idaho domestically and internationally. My background prior to this role is all private sector. I spent a lot of time in leadership roles in small companies, large companies, different roles, marketing. My background is a retired CPA, but I've spent many years in the business area. My wife and I are both entrepreneurs. We have a group of restaurants locally, and she supports that or works at that hard while I work in this role helping the state. The family's all here, which is one of the key goals for the governor, was to create an atmosphere and an environment so that kids or grandkids can stay here or those that have left can come back. His priorities and our priorities are pretty much to work with existing businesses and help with supporting those existing businesses so they stay healthy, strong, and can expand here, attract other businesses that might represent strategic portfolio diversification for the state, again, higher paying jobs and so forth, promoting Idaho tourism as well as marketing our activities and others' activities in commerce, support rural Idaho as a major initiative, and promote good trade policy across the board. We have very few incentives. We don't really market our state based on, call it, price. We have a lot of positive attributes that make us a very attractive community to stay in or to come here. And then most recently, we've added broadband as one of our service areas. So we have an office of broadband based on the support of the legislature and the governor. So I'll just give you those as sort of the general areas for the Department of Commerce, and happy to stop there and let Sean move on to the next, what he does in his area.
Thank you, Tom. Sean.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Karen, and City Club of Boise. It's an absolute privilege to be here and to be part of this discussion today. I'll just start by saying, Tom's team at the Idaho Department of Commerce, I really couldn't find a better team to work with and partner with on many of the initiatives that we collaborate on together. So thank you, Tom, and to your department for all the hard work that they do. They are certainly an integral part to many of the things that we do here at the city. So to just talk a little bit about what our role is here and what I do, I am the Economic Development Director in the City of Boise Mayor's Office, and my job is to support Mayor McLean's mission to build economic opportunity for everyone in the City of Boise, and to develop and execute on the strategic priorities that we've set forth to support that goal. These include the areas of business attraction, retention, expansion, of course, as well as the larger goal of building long-term economic resilience, which has been underscored, of course, in our past 12 months or so as we've navigated through the pandemic. We also have a strong focus on entrepreneurship and working with our community partners to support workforce development efforts in the city and in the region. We also work hard to build our city's brand and our marketing efforts in conjunction with our local partners and our team here at the city. So all that to say, we work very closely with our community stakeholders to ensure that we grow in a way that is right for Boise and aligned with our leadership and our community's priorities. A little bit on what we've been up to lately, especially as it relates to economic recovery. Mid last year, Mayor McLean made an effort to respond directly to our recovery efforts by standing up an economic recovery task force that was comprised of leaders around the community from the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. And this highlighted a few things. First and foremost, our commitment to public health through recovery, as well as our continuing commitment to building and maintaining our workforce through economic recovery, and ensuring support for populations of folks who had become increasingly vulnerable through the pandemic. We also focused on a number of other programs to, again, focus some of our efforts on supporting those more vulnerable parts of our workforce and our economy. This included our small business grant program that we did in partnership and with support from the state of Idaho, distributing over about a million and a half dollars to small businesses throughout Boise, with an average award of nearly $10,000. We had our expanded public right-of-way program that included patios, our so-called parklets in the right-of-way around the city, as well as projects like 8th Street. And all of those work together to help us both innovate and work together to navigate the recovery process. And I'll be happy to expand on some of those as we have our conversation today. But at the end of it all, it's our goal to make our economy and our city a more resilient and vibrant place with a balanced and healthy economy. And that couldn't be more critical now as we hopefully start to navigate through the emergence of this pandemic and working closely with our partners like with the state of Idaho here. So with that, Karen, I'll hand it back to you and continue the conversation.
Great. Thank you both, Tom and Sean. So let's get to the biggie, because this has definitely been top of mind for a lot of folks, the American Rescue Plan. And, you know, maybe Tom, share with us, what are the complexities around this? How is it going to help Idahoans? And more so, how is this being monitored in the state?
Karen, thank you. With a little backdrop, you know, last year we had the CARES Act, and we were quite active. The governor had the Coronavirus Financial Advisory Committee. I was one of the members of that to help figure out the allocation of the $1.25 billion that came into the state. So we worked closely with the governor and other stakeholders on that one, and distributed funds for operating expenses, kind of recovery, but also some strategic investments like broadband. The similarly, last year, we were working with PPP and PPE, Payroll Protection Plan, and the Personal Protection Equipment. And Commerce was quite active with other stakeholders to help bring in about $3 billion to the 30,000 or so businesses that applied to the SBA for that. And it took a while to go through that program and help and assist and promote. So you might say that's going to be part of this new program, the ARPA program, and getting more details about that activity. Last year, we also had the promotion for, call it One Idaho, to help protect each other and with different kind of protective measures to recreate responsibly. The whole One Idaho program was helping to, again, keep the messaging up about how to be safe. And tourism was down a bit last year, but again, we helped to pivot a little bit to help cover that. And again, that's the third largest industry for the state. And the results have been quite strong in terms of recovery since last year at this time. So in this new program, I think it's to be digested or dissected in terms of how is it going to be interpreted as it gets, you know, some of the opening and some of the areas, the details haven't clearly been spelled out. But it took us a number of months last year with the CARES Act to figure the roadmap to get those funds distributed and allocated. But again, it's a positive. And then you also had the Build Back Better program, which I think was kicking off yesterday or today. And that's to be determined also in terms of what does that mean in terms of that economic stimulus. But I think, again, from the governor's perspective, and I think the legislators are still looking with respect to ARP or the new programs, how to both do cost mitigation or expense mitigation, but also do infrastructure investments so that there will be returns to help get some savings or benefits in the future to help pay back this debt that will be growing over time. So again, a lot of commerce potential benefit, and then some of these shuttered venues and some of these industries that were most hit hardest, like hospitality, there's some carve out in some areas in there that will benefit our community, our state, and different key areas going forward.
Great, thank you. You know,
I left out one. We hope in broadband. Sorry, we hope in broadband that there could be $100 to $120 million of additional funding to complement almost $100 million that we did last year between Commerce's activities and others around the state to bring more broadband, a very needed service to our communities, particularly rural and smaller communities that are lacking in broadband service.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. Sean, you know, you mentioned this briefly, you know, pivoting and doing some programming and looking at not only infrastructure, but how you could help small businesses. You know, tell us about the areas you believe Boise has some advantages over other cities. You know, where do we face challenges, resiliency, you know, some of these things that could be examples for other cities of what Boise did to pivot quickly and how you think that will impact the future recovery.
Thank you, Karin. Yeah, I think going back to the Economic Recovery Task Force that we had in the middle of last year, I think it was important for us first and foremost just to focus on getting through the public health aspect of that and to demonstrate leadership and work with our partners at the state and county level to do that as well. So putting that as our sort of centerpiece of our recovery, I think helped position us to be in a good place now, where we have the opportunity to build upon some of the things in front of us that we have to make the economy stronger and support our partners in a way that is meaningful. So I think one thing that's fundamental to our economy in Boise here locally is our diverse array of economic opportunities, our balanced a balanced economy and a workforce that serves a range of economic opportunities. So that's everything from our thriving entrepreneur and small business community, which we've been recognized for on a national level, all the way up to our major employers that serve as the bulwark of our economy and help to continue to attract talent to our city. And so I think that it hasn't been lost on anyone that Boise has really been one of the more fortunate cities in the wake of the pandemic. I mean, some of the latest figures I've seen in terms of our employment and what we've lost and what we've gained have shown that we've really had, at the very least, no net loss of jobs over the course of the past 12 months. And we've seen keen interest in employers that want to double down on building the workforce here. I mean, companies that have invested in Boise during the pandemic that have made big moves. I mean, we've just seen Cradle Point and Count, for example, receive significant investment from buyers that have looked at these companies located here in Boise and the workforce as areas where they would like to double down and grow. So I think those are a few examples of how we've demonstrated not only resilience, but that how we've have remained an attractive place for folks to come and grow their careers and their families and have a place where they can live and work and have a good, well-rounded life and economic opportunities. So, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our, and this is something that I think Tom had mentioned as well, but our great network of partners that throughout the pandemic, we've been able to look to help us work together, work collaboratively to move through the pandemic and some of the difficult pivots that we've all had to experience. So that's something that is, I think, looked at as one of the unique aspects of Boise that makes it attractive for new companies and employees alike to locate here.
Great, thank you, Sean. Tom, you know, has your organization's mission or responsibilities, priorities changed since COVID? And do you expect them to change as we recover and move forward, or are you pretty much steady as you go?
Steady is not a good word when you're a marketing person or a marketing department, but so pivoting and collaborating and keeping up with and being nimble, but still recognize some of the overall priorities. Again, I talked about earlier, helping our existing businesses, making certain they can thrive the best they can. So we did pivot last year and work on PPP and other support programs with the state at the state level and federal to help. But just to give you an update as to where we are, you know, a year later, and you can read different reports and different scorecards, but we're still, I think, first in growth in travel dollars and jobs, not necessarily absolute, but growth. We're the least regulated state in the U.S. We have the lowest unemployment level back in effective the end of January. We're third in terms of community well-being. Broadband investment, again, I talked about we were number three across states with respect to the use of these CARES Act dollars that last part of 2020, looking at that report. We're fourth in the nation for job growth, fourth lowest energy cost, eighth most tax-friendly state, and then the U.S. News and World Report ranked us fifth now in terms of best states, up from 16 the year before. So, yes, we've had a pandemic, and it's been unfortunate for a lot of folks and for our nation. But in terms of state and commerce and well-being, we've come out, or we've been strong through that period. The go forward part, one of the pieces is the Building Idaho's Future. Again, has nothing to do with the federal programs that are out there. It has to do with what's our state all about. And the governor's plan and the legislature are looking at the how to invest some of the Idaho's one-time surplus. So we reacted last year quite aggressively, the state government, state agencies, to hold back, hold the line, not knowing how severe the pandemic would hurt our economy. And now, as a result of all the careful stewardship of our funds, we've got a fairly large surplus. And the governor and the legislature are saying, looking at major things that would help economic development for all the citizens, tax cuts in terms of corporate and personal tax cuts, sales tax, they're looking at those items, and then some major infrastructure, highway, water, broadband. These are all major areas for long-term strategic investments for the state to continue having a good quality of life, be an attractive place to live and work. So near-term, hopefully when the legislature gets back, hopefully it'll be soon that some of these major programs, many of which have been, I believe, signed already. But again, it's positioning the state well for even the future.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Sean, do you want to weigh in on how things have changed over at the city with regard to your mission, responsibilities, and priorities?
Yeah, I think, as always, it's been important to look at how we can plan for the future of our city. And this is something that we do, all the time as part of our city culture, but remaining agile and quick to respond, and being able to move quickly as conditions change, that's all remain critical. So I think for especially for Mayor McLean during her first year of her first term, look at the priorities that she had set out, the strategic priorities that were part of her of her commitment to her term, and to ensure that we could execute on those. So part of that, one result of the pandemic has seemed that we've seen a lot more growth than we would have expected as a city and as a region, and making sure that we're prepared to respond to those through careful planning in areas like our housing plan, and looking at what is the need for particular types of housing, making sure that we have housing alternatives and options in place, and that we have our staff and our partners in the private sector, ready and aware of what those needs are, so that we can respond to those and create more opportunities for housing across the board for folks in our community and for our new residents. We've also made a particular effort to look at our, and this was something that we planned to do before the pandemic, but our economic development strategic plan, and the idea behind that of just being very intentional about what we mean when it comes to economic opportunity for all. And a big part of that will be looking to our community partners in the city and asking them to help us guide those priorities around economic development for the next, 5 or more years. So that's something that that I know the mayor is excited about. I'm personally excited about, and we're looking at moving ahead. So I guess just to sum up the answer to your question, it's making sure that we look at what this past year has brought us in terms of challenges and opportunities, and make sure that we really look at our strategic planning, our strategic approach for getting ahead of some of these, some of those opportunities and challenges, and making sure that we can execute on them in a way that that makes sense for everyone in our city.
Great, thank you, Sean. Tom, chat to us a little bit about what kinds of businesses or industries that you're seeing a really positive momentum and growth as we recover. And then on the flip side, are there industries that you're concerned about?
Thanks for that question. The positive part is definitely it's across the board. There, Sean's got this region he looks over in City of Boise, but I'll call it the five or six major regions around the state are all pretty very prosperous coming out of a pandemic. And that's whether it be the agriculture, food processing, timber, mining, those call it major core first, you know, top industries for our state are very strong. Advanced manufacturing, technology, very strong. Sean talked about two local companies here that were acquired, Account and Cradlepoint. And you have announcements in different parts of the state, whether it be the Lamb Weston and in the southeast. We have a new intermodal facility in Pocatello. We've got the INL looking at small modular reactors and other innovative companies in that area. Up north, we've got a variety of distribution businesses and advanced manufacturing. All around Pullman, Moscow, you've got the Schweitzer industry and EMSI, a big database, prospering and growing, expanding there. Southwest, Caldwell, Canyon County, very strong as well. Magic Valley, I think I talked about already. So though our industries are very, our regions are very strong, and there's the ripple effect. The rural communities are seeing an uptick too, partly due to some of the flight or the, you know, the quality of life, getting out of big cities, getting into Idaho and being safe, because we had a very robust economy during the pandemic compared to some others. The third largest industry, tourism and outdoor recreation, we're surprised at how it's rebounded and been very strong. And the outlook through the end of this fiscal year is that we'll be hopefully pretty close to the prior year. So again, that's probably the one that's rebounding, went down the lowest, rebounding the greatest. And we're seeing a lot of good forecasts coming in for tourism and outdoor rec. Some new industries positive could be the nuclear reactor, some cybersecurity, energy in general, very strong, advanced manufacturing. Weakest areas that we don't compete particularly well might be some of those where we don't have the natural resources, that sort of thing. But we have a very diversified economy, getting more diversified, so we're pretty attractive to many. And again, the closeness to the markets, whether they be Salt Lake to east or west, southwest to California or to the Portland, Seattle markets or beyond, we're in a pretty good strategic market location for companies.
Great. Thank you. I just want to remind you that we are listening to a City Club of Boise virtual conversation. And at a later date, this will be rebroadcast on Boise State Public Radio, KBSX 91.5 and its affiliates. So let's come down to, what are you most excited about? Are there initiatives, whether federal, state, local, or otherwise? You know, tell us what you're most excited about and what are you seeing being implemented or proposed that you believe will have a most positive impact on our recovery. So let's kick it off with Sean.
Sure. Yeah, I think we have some exciting news on the federal front, of course, as Tom mentioned earlier. And I think that will provide some great opportunities for us here at the city to look what those key needs are, especially among the areas that have been hardest hit in our community, and to help provide some, economic recovery assistance. And I'll just mention that this recovery will take a while. So I think it's important that we're able to look at the next 2+ years as sort of our time frame for what recovery is. And fortunately, some of the funding that's coming from the federal level for the American Rescue Plan is eligible to be spent over those next 2 years. So we've been working again, you know, strategically to address what some of these opportunities might be. One of them is broadband, like Tom at the state. Broadband is a significant priority for us here in Boise. And we're currently working with our folks in our information technology group to look at what our long-term needs for broadband are and make sure that we are able to look at how we can most efficiently build that out in a way that's responsible and gives value to our taxpayers and our companies that that are here already, and as well as companies that are looking to locate in Boise. So that's one that I think we're certainly excited about, and looking forward to seeing how we might be able to leverage, you know, in terms of getting federal funds to undergird those efforts. Also excited to see some of the assistance coming in that will look to address shuttered venues and restaurants, two other areas that have been hardest hit during the pandemic, and could certainly use the next couple of years to look for a continued re-ramp up of everything that they bring to our community. We're lucky to have such a vibrant and livable downtown, and seeing what the folks in, for example, Downtown Boise Association have done to be creative about how they respond to the issues that the pandemic has presented in cooperation, of course, with our city leadership and downtown businesses and other stakeholders has been really inspiring. So also excited to see how they continue to use this as an opportunity to be creative and do a few things that, you know, maybe they haven't tried before to continue to make our downtown a great place to live and work and you know, for families to enjoy. So those are just a couple that I think we're excited about here at the city. And then I should mention as well, just our efforts to continue to build work with our partners to create more opportunities for housing, not just in the downtown area, but across the city, and to do that in a way that is cognizant and compatible with neighborhoods, and continues to make all of our neighborhoods great places to live, while welcoming and providing opportunities for more housing, more residents.
Great. Thank you, Sean. Tama, what are you most excited about?
Well, the Building Idaho's Future is close to home and is quite large and impactful in terms of assisting with tax relief, corporate, personal, and sales tax. Hopefully that will be through the legislature and effective. I know the governor's gone on this week talking in addition about the roads and infrastructure for highways, and that getting that approved locally, and then raising the funds to get matching or grant borrowing capacity to impact our infrastructure of roads is very important. The water that was signed, the additional water, is again a very important infrastructure or resource we need to have in this state. When you get over into the broadband area, which Sean is talking about, and that has broad appeal for particularly communities that have not got the high-speed internet into their communities, which is like a basic necessity or need to keep economic development going, quality of life, and that sort of thing. So we've got the legislature supporting up to about $45 million for expansion with state funds and carryover CARES Act funds. And then hopefully there'll be over $100 million in the most recent ARPA program, not the Build Better plan. But those can be very impactful and in the short run. So those are pretty positive attributes for the state here in the near term. I forgot to mention earlier, though, I think there's a fair amount of community development grant funds for smaller communities that we have from CARES Act, and I believe the ARPA or the new program has additional funding as well. So we'll look at how to look at programs for rural Idaho again to improve, expand, and accommodate growth. And then air service across the state. I forgot this earlier. We have multiple airports around the state, and there's many new flights or service that's going to help again with commerce, help with tourism and travel, and that's near term, and that could be quite beneficial. So those are some of the high points in the near term. And of course, the ARPA is to be determined, and the one after that is to be determined in terms of the impact. So
yes, you know, there are so many programs, and I'm just hearing the alphabet soup of all these acronyms. But you know, how does a business or organization tap into this? What's the portal? Where do they start? And what would you recommend to a business of how to access these tools if they haven't already?
So at Commerce, we try to get that message out through our, call it our database, our Commerce website, which is a good place to come to, Idaho Commerce. And we try to, again, sift through, sort, get down to the details so that we can put it into a little bit more bite size in terms of if you're this type of business, this might be a possibility. Shuttered venues, again, we're digesting these programs. We're trying to broadcast and get that out, not just call it digitally, but all through also through all of our strategic partners, Sean, cities around the state, counties, other venues like this program that we're on today to try to express that there are multiple programs. There's many to be that are coming down the pipe and also that need to be defined and decided upon. And we work with SBA, other agencies at federal level to help break it down. We have one coming up that we've been working on, the semiconductor industry. There's a domestic desire at the federal level to help protect that industry and bring it basically onshore. We're going through the process now to see what that program might look like and who it might benefit with respect to existing businesses in Idaho, and as well as perhaps it's a strategic opportunity. So again, another program that's being that's evolving at the federal level that we're trying to get our heads around, understand, and share the information with businesses and the communities as quick as we can.
Thank you for that. So I've had a number of questions about obviously growth. I mean, the positive side to the recovery is that we've got the positive side to recovery. Sean, I think this one is for you from our audience. You know, as the city prospers and grows, what are the policies and procedures in place that the city is looking at with regard to that growth, whether it's through, you know, new subdivisions, sprawl, roads, you know, the big picture with regard to growth? What is the city doing with regard to that, preserving open space? I mean, I think there's a million things that kind of fall into that. What are you doing at the city?
Great question. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, so again, we're trying and have been, I think, working very hard to be intentional about how we think about growth. And that's both in our planning efforts and our continuing execution and focus on things that have always been important to us here in the city. You mentioned, you know, the foothills and preservation of open space. I know that's something that the city is continuing to focus on and continuing to look for opportunities to look for appropriate places for preservation and expansion of recreation opportunities. I know recently some of the new trails and areas in especially the foothills have been talked about as areas where the city has made some significant investments, and we're proud of that. On the housing side, you know, there's you've probably seen around downtown. I think there's 1,100 new units of housing coming online this year, and the city has worked hard to make sure that we don't don't get in the way of the need to provide more housing opportunities and options for folks, but also that we do it in a way that it's a process. You know, we work through our council to ensure that we have community input and that we do this in an intentional, appropriate way that makes our city more vibrant and overall a better place to live and work. So it's definitely a balance of working to do what we do as a city and trying to do that well, and looking to our exceptional staff to make that happen, and also working and letting our partners in the private sector do what they do best to provide creative solutions to needs like housing and employment. And I'll also mention that a long time priority of the city has been to build a balanced opportunities for balanced workforce and employment opportunities. We have quite a bit of area in the southeast of the city around the airport, for example, where we have looked to build some of our capacity for industry, light manufacturing, and provide jobs for a range of levels of skill and educational attainment. So we recently, for example, welcomed a new company in that area that will be providing 180 jobs over the next 3 years, producing building materials out of recycled plastic and wood. So there's some innovative new advanced manufacturing that we've been able to attract to that area in particular. So there are a range of approaches that we've taken to, again, try to grow in an intentional way and in a way that works for all Boiseans. We're working very hard to do that and execute on Mayor McLean's priorities to make that happen.
You know, talking about workforce and workforce development, this is a great segue. I have a number of questions with regard to education. And Tom, maybe you can speak to this about how does education funding fit into the economic recovery plan? Are there offsets from some of the federal funds? We've talked about broadband, that is an investment in education as well. So if you could speak to education and the funding and how that impacts our economic recovery.
Yes, surely. There's a lot that goes into growth and development and quality of life. And one of those elements is, again, education, skilled workforce, talent to help support the growth of the companies that are coming here, the employers. And that's a very key attribute or item for the governor. He's been very strong on education, early level through advanced, K through 12 and so forth. Because again, if education is needed for the to have innovative companies and companies that are efficient. And so education ties into having that sustainable resilience in terms of our economy. So I believe that that area, again, it's not in the Department of Commerce, but we know that educated workforce and quality workforce and sufficient quantity of workforce is important to, again, maintain and thrive in our economy. So there is that effort, that request, that's part of, I'll call it the infrastructure spend or the investment in the future that the governor supports. To go to the other side, we have a low unemployment level. So again, it's the employment market is tight. So there is, and yet there are still companies that want to expand here, and there are companies that want to come here to expand. Because we have a good climate for workers, a good climate for resources, we don't have perhaps the congestion, we have that quality of life, all those things that we enjoy for us that are here, we're trying to preserve that in the future as well. Housing, again, a very tight item, but it's also tight around the nation. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal today in terms of just, again, housing. Fortunately, we do have some activities, and Sean talked about one of the companies coming here, but we also have had two new companies, AutoVol and IndyDwell, over the last few years in this region have come on stream to help provide affordable, attractive housing to help meet that gap or meet that need or demand. So there has to be that balance of, you know, growth with people wanting to grow, but also having the workforce, the housing, education system, quality of life, recreational opportunities. And that is a balance. That's a challenge as we have a very attractive state. We have a very attractive regions across the state. And how do we make certain in the future it's still attractive and it's still the kind of quality of life that we hope to be in?
You know, a number of questions that we're getting with that tie back into education is also wages. You know, a lot of these companies that are moving here, the wages might not align with housing costs and some of these other things. And then a lot of women that have been laid off, and just that pay inequity that we've seen over time. You know, are there any programs in place to address wages? What does that look like? You know, the tie to housing and livability and all of that, but also education, wages. What is the state and or city looking at wage levels and how that impacts our economic growth?
I'll just jump in. You mentioned something, Karen, around, you know, I think something that relates to an initiative that I know the mayor's passionate about, the city sees as a pressing need, and that's childcare. And the city has recently stepped up its efforts by establishing a dedicated childcare task force. And it's something that we have heard from not only leaders in our community, but folks across the community as a key need that plays a role in helping to ensure that our workforce is taken care of and in a way that allows everyone in the workforce to have an opportunity, if they like to be able to get out there and have childcare be something that they don't have to worry about as much. So we're looking at ways to devote more resources to that, to address workforce availability question and just generally to allow folks to pursue opportunities that they would like to do. With regard to the wage question, I'll just say that here at the City of Boise, we're very intentional, again, about the employment opportunities that we look at. And we work very closely with Tom and his team, as well as folks at the Boise Valley Economic Partnership, to look at the opportunities in front of us. And I'll just say that we have a good problem right now, and that is we have probably more opportunities than we may be able to actually accommodate, just because of the level of demand that we're seeing for companies, firms that would like to relocate or expand in Boise. So that provides an opportunity for us to be very careful about which opportunities we pursue. And, you know, we, again, are intentional about that and look at the wage housing balance as a key part of that equation.
Great. Tom?
Sure. Couple things. Just last week, we looked at different positions around the state, different regions, for our Economic Advisory Council meeting, just to see differences across regions, but also areas where there's demand and not enough labor or folks to support those jobs. One of the highest, and I know the governor's talked about this as well, one of the highest demanded position that is unfilled across the state is in nursing. And we have a big need there, and the salary areas are, I would say, fairly attractive. I think the average mean was something like about $75,000 per person. And again, there's the market is bidding up jobs, as Sean was kind of saying, that there's a lot of demand for talent. And so those jobs are, you know, employers are bidding those to get the talent. But we have a lot of areas where there are good positions that are not filled yet. And that's a bit unfortunate. But also the incentives. I want to just, we have very few in the state. The two major ones are the tax reimbursement incentive. That one requires, before there's a grant, that company have at least meet or exceed on average the average county wage, whatever county that's in. So again, there's not incentives out there to pay below average. So I just want to clarify that there's one other, which is called the Business Advantage, and that has a similar minimum number or salary plus benefits in there. The state has very few, but they're responsible in terms of they're not, they're trying to keep up with wage growth, not necessarily a federal minimum wage. There's nothing holding employers back from paying or being incented to pay something below these key benchmarks. So that's important for us to, when we're looking at or evaluating companies that have an interest in this state. And they have to, again, earn these incentives in Idaho. You have to follow through and hire, and we audit the performance on the pay scale to make certain they are meeting the thresholds.
Great, thank you, Tom. Sean, you mentioned a little bit about some of the initiatives that the city's working on and some of the new businesses that have coming that are coming in that are more aligned with maybe climate change, sustainability, energy efficiency. Maybe speak a little bit about how you see that aligning with economic recovery. And then Tom, if you can then follow with, are there funds being set aside for any infrastructure improvements with regard to wind or solar or other alternative type energy generation?
Thank you, Karin. Yeah, I'll lead off. And with regard to climate, this is something that is again a key part of Mayor McLean's strategic priorities, and it's something that really runs across the city and the departments that we have here. And in terms of economic development, we see this as something that is really just core to everything that we pursue. So when we look at opportunities for where we put our energy and our focus, our resources, certainly opportunities that involve a net benefit on the climate and energy side are at the center of where we'd like to put our efforts and double down. So Tom mentioned partnerships with INL, for example, and here's an area where, Boise, and for example, our higher education institutions have relationships with that major employer on the east side of the state, and looking at potential opportunities for how we explore partnerships, how we expand partnerships like that, and leverage that vast resource and potential for expansion in areas like green energy opportunities is something that we're certainly looking at. The mayor had also looked to prioritize investing in programs that might encourage the growth of small companies and entrepreneurs who'd like to focus their efforts on clean energy and technologies that would support that. And of course, that's broad and runs a wide gamut, but through our existing resources and partnerships here with organizations such as our local incubator Trailhead, there are opportunities to help advance some of those initiatives. And I know, for example, Trailhead has gotten some funding recently to help advance some of that. So we're proud to be partners in those efforts and look forward to expanding those. And again, making sure that all in our city and the resources that we have can go toward advancing those goals.
Great. Thank you, Sean. Tom?
On energy, one of the benefits for Idaho is that we have a high degree of hydroelectric generation for power. We also have a lot of wind and solar. So, and then you've got the Idaho Power announcement of going further away from fossil fuels. It also means that INL, who's active in the development of alternative energy areas, whether it be more efficient, call it battery, wind, solar, but the nuclear area is a big area coming forward. The small modular reactor, you've got that program or process happening in the near term, hopefully 2026 or 2027, I believe, depending on the approval process. So that's a new, you might say, a major transformational opportunity perhaps for nuclear to become more competitive, but also with some of the strategic infrastructure investments that the governor's talked about with water and other programs. And we've got a lot of consumer-owned utilities that are hydro. Again, innovation, technology will help in that arena of energy, finding alternatives, finding low cost. And it's uncertain what the new Build Back Better program is going to mean, but it has a component or about energy and alternatives and climate. So we'll have to wait and see how some of that gets developed or explained in terms of how it's going to work. So I guess that's in the near term. But again, these investments tend to be a lot further into the future. And then you asked about incentives. I think generally we don't necessarily have a tilt to an energy component, but our incentives are tied to job creation, economic development or growth, so that we don't try to pick winners and losers within industries. We try to have a general approach for either companies in rural communities or urban, and then job creation, and does it fit with a diversified portfolio of companies across the state to help, again, expand our growth and do it without taking too many risks.
Great, thank you. So the next question, I'm actually going to combine a couple. So the main question is, how is the Boise Airport doing? But I think this is could also be, how are airports doing in general? And Tom, you touched on a little bit about this, but also what about cultural tourism and attracting people to not just Boise, but Idaho in that sector, and then retirees. So maybe I'll have Sean kick it off, speak to the Boise Airport and some of the new airlines that have committed to the airport. Are those short-term, long-term? And then Tom, maybe speak a little bit more broadly about tourism in general and the road to recovery with regard to tourism. So Sean.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an area, certainly a bright spot in the past year, where, you know, I know that aviation and airlines in general have taken some hits because of the pandemic. But here in Boise, you know, we've managed to grow our airline network and our destination network, most recently adding a route to New York City on the East Coast. A big win for the airport. I know that was something that many in the business community and many folks here, just in general here in Boise, were looking for in terms of options, a cross-country flight. So again, big win for them. I know that there was also recently a flight added to Nashville and capacity added up and down the West Coast here. Another flight to Chicago. There's actually probably more than I can remember right now, but just kudos to the airport and their team, and for the business community and folks here that supported the creation of those opportunities that could make those routes happen. So in terms of helping to sustain them, I mean, the key is getting on aircraft and flying them, assuming that it's safe and smart to do so. But that's what helps sustain these routes. And I'm sure the airport would share that view. So yeah, really excited to see that taking off, no pun intended. And the other piece, of course, is with the added capacity and added flights out of the airport, there are some capital projects that they are, I know, working hard on to help move forward. And these were planned before the pandemic and part of their master plan. Right now, they have the unique opportunity to get to work on those and help expand our airport capacity here in Boise.
Thank you, Sean. Tom, tourism.
I'll try to go fast because it looks like we're running out of time, but there's a lot to cover. At a recent Idaho Travel Council meeting, and again, commerce works with marketing of tourism and travel. It's one of our areas and teams. The report about airports and call it the rebound, but more importantly, adding net new travel schedules was amazing. Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Twin Falls, Ketchum or Haley, Boise, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Pullman, Moscow, all of them have had at least one addition or net addition going on, which was very positive and anticipation of both the summer and hopefully ongoing for not just seasonal. So that's very good. That means commerce is picking up, as well as tourism and travel. So those are all very good. But then also on the, I think it's the ARPA has a factor in there for concessionaires to help that hospitality segment of airports rebound, and then also some infrastructure in other areas to help, again, the airports rebound and be able to accommodate the resurgence of traffic. And Idaho is still one of those key top destination states for recreation and outdoors, and the demand, again, early on, I said before, the early on for recreation, rental of lodging is well ahead of schedule from last year. So it's very, very strong outlook.
So a lot of really positive information. You've been listening to a City Club of Boise virtual conversation with Sean Keithley, who's the Economic Development Director of the City of Boise, Tom Keeley, who's the director of Idaho Department of Commerce. Thank you both so much, so much information. I know that we'll rebroadcast this on Boise State Public Radio and then also on City Club of Boise's social media outlets. And hopefully we can put some links out there to what you've both mentioned with regard to some of the resources. So thank you both again. Appreciate it.
Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. Truly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.